Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
We're going to start with a COVID-19 update, something we've been doing for almost a year.
Yeah, great.
Time flies.
When you're having fun, huh?
Right. So, Dr. Prather, what are the statistics saying about the novel coronavirus? And that novel is a fancy word for saying new coronavirus, right?
Yeah, right. We try to make things complicated and interesting so people don't, you know, think that we're smarter than we are. So, the novel coronavirus, the infection rate is down 35% across the whole United States.
That's good news.
That's very good news.
Down 35%.
And the death rate is down 35%.
Great news.
So, you know, really, what they're saying is, could we be going into a plateau where that spike is gone? And really, if we can maintain this, then things should be getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. Well, probably still, they're still saying masking, but they would open everything up and there wouldn't be any the restrictions of any closures of anything at this point. So we'll see if that maintains it. Hopefully, it we'll all keep our fingers crossed and pray for it, and hopefully everything stays where it's at.
So 35% decrease.
35% decrease.
Okay, good news.
So yeah, it's real good news.
What is happening with the variants of the virus?
Now we get to the bad news.
Okay.
You know, the whole thing is that Dr. Fauci and all the experts are saying, you know, yeah, everything's down right now, but we got these variants coming in. The two big ones are we had the UK, the South African, and the Brazil. All three of them are actually a problem and pretty much taking over wherever they go. And in the places they've arrived in, there's been a spike again. So they're predicting, because of the new variants, that these numbers are going to go back up again.
Okay.
So we'll see about that and see what's going on. The new variants are more contagious and actually have been proven to be more deadly.
Okay.
You know, so those are big things that we have to watch out for. And hopefully that, you know, we don't get into a whole new round of those.
And they are able to tell that these are the...
Well, that's the big thing that they're doing is they've started to do genetic testing on all the positive tests at this point to see what it is that's coming about and what's happening with those and how much they're spreading.
Okay. Interesting. Now, does prior infection and vaccines work on the new variants?
That's the big thing that they're saying. And at this point, you can still catch it with the new variant. Mm-hmm. So even if you had the old, then if you are exposed to the new variant, you'll probably catch it.
Okay.
Now, the question is it, you know, does the prior immunity help with mitigating it and not making it as bad? Yes. So, you know, if you've had the old novel coronavirus.
The old new coronavirus.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, yeah. It's no longer novel. Now we've got the novel ones, I guess is how you've kind of put that. But it does help to lessen, in other words, your immune system's already prepared. So it does help. Mm-hmm. Now the vaccinations, where we have the two shots, it doesn't look like those work at all on the new variants.
Okay.
Though that they have said it's going to be an easy fix to get those so that they can work on the new variants. But the double shots, the two that we had before, the Pfizer and the, both of those. But the Johnson & Johnson one does work on the new variant.
And that was one shot. You talked about that last week.
Yeah, that's the single shot. Now, it's not quite as effective as on the novel coronavirus, but as a one-shot type of thing, it has much better efficacy. And they're actually looking and trying to do experiments with the new variant on a double shot on the Johnson & Johnson and see how effective that is.
Okay.
But the Johnson & Johnson works on both the new and the old variant.
Is that out yet?
It is not out. It's supposed to be approved, and it had a huge study on it. Mm-hmm. And it one thing is that on the safety between the two of them, the Pfizer and the other one are brand new types of vaccinations. Mm-hmm. The Johnson & Johnson one is based on the Ebola vaccination. So it's all, it's, in other words, it's a vaccination that has been proven safe, effective over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So you know we're still not quite sure on the on these new vaccinations, on how they're, because it's the first time we've ever rolled them out. They might be absolutely wonderful, but we don't have any type of history on it. Whereas with the Johnson & Johnson one, there is a history already, and so it's already known to be a safe, effective type of a vaccination.
Okay. Now, yeah, is there any other updates on vaccinations?
Well, there's still, you know, the whole thing with the vaccinations and the variants. Again, if you've gotten the vaccinations at this point, you're probably going to need to get another one as soon as those variants come out.
Okay.
And the Johnson & Johnson one has proven effective on it. Not quite as effective as on the novel coronavirus, but still effective. And it might be a double shot at that point. And the big thing is that the ones that have to be frozen has a lot of problems that are associated with it on distribution because of the low temperatures and having special type of a requirements along those lines. Whereas the Johnson & Johnson one will keep for 3 months in a refrigerator. So, and they can actually ramp up, because they've already done it with the Ebola, they can ramp up the numbers very, very quickly.
With production.
Production. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, that it can be a game changer. Mm-hmm. On getting the vaccinations out and getting them to people and getting things under control. Yeah. So, you know, I'm thinking that the Johnson & Johnson vaccination, I think, is really a game changer. I was worried about the freezing and the distribution for the other one. Mm-hmm. And then with the whole new variant, they're going to have to change it anyway to make it workable for the new variants that are going to take over. So I think the Johnson & Johnson one is going to be the best option at this point.
And hopefully that'll come out soon.
And yes, they're trying to get it approved. They had a much larger study also on the Johnson & Johnson, 45,000 people, to see how the effectiveness is. And so I think that's really where we're going to see a lot of progress with the vaccinations.
So what are some natural ways to boost immunity? Because if your immunity is strong...
Right. I go back to 26% of the population is immune to the novel coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So, they could be around it all day, and they're just completely immune to it.
And that's what percentage?
26%.
26%.
Then you have 40% of the population that get it and don't even know that they have it. Mm-hmm. There are no symptoms. Then you've got another 20%. Who have mild to moderate, and it's the 14% that are really the people who are having real problems with this infection going around. So, mm-hmm. 14% of the population. What is it that differentiates, you know, these people? Mm-hmm. The 26% just have the genetic makeup that they're not going to get it. The others, you know, why they have mild to moderate symptoms is because of their overall health and well-being, how strong their immune system is. And you're talking about several things. You're talking about zinc levels, you're talking about vitamin D levels, you're talking about iodine, you know, that actually keeps their immune system boosted. And if you become deficient in those things, that is a very big predictor. They've done studies on vitamin D as one of the big predictors. And it is, the level of your vitamin D is going to be a huge predictor on how sick you get with this particular infection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, taking care of yourself is very important. Avoiding stress, getting enough sleep, doing all the different types of things to keep your immune system up is extremely, extremely important, you mm-hmm. know, to your health and well-being. And of course, right now, I mean, everybody's stressed.
Right.
And that's not a good thing. That's not a good combination mm-hmm. on keeping people healthy. Stress is one of the major things that kicks off pandemics. So, you know, trying to take care of yourself and keep yourself healthy and getting checked on those types of things is going to be really, really important for coming up. So, you know, it's great for the vaccinations. It's great for all the things that the doctors do for you. But you need to take care of yourself mm-hmm. and be responsible to you for your own health and not just rely on outside agencies to take care of you.
Well, and that goes right into what we're going to be talking about the rest of the show. It's Women's History Month. Okay. And we're going to talk about self-care, but self-care goes both ways, men and women. Very important right now. It seems to be the new tag word,
Well, it's, we need to take responsibility for ourselves.
Yes. All right. We'll be right back.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology. What professionals out there use the rapid release technology?
It was invented by a chiropractor, and chiropractors actually are really quite innovative and have come up with quite a few devices. So chiropractors obviously were the first ones to start using it. Physical therapists, occupational therapists, massage therapists are also using it. Athletic trainers,
the NFL, NBA.
NBA, NHL, PGA. So it's very important for sports. A lot of Olympic athletes are using that to maintain the function of their body. So for sports, for recovery, even after surgeries, headache clinics are using it.
I've even taken the softer head over someone's cranium and that back occiput area.
Sure.
And, you know, we have sutures in our skull and work the sutures with it. The headache people just love that.
You just see people kind of drifting off.
Uh-huh.
So during the treatment, if you're not careful, I mean, people are just going to fall asleep on you.
That's all right. TMJ, using that small head.
Yeah, and temporomandibular joint syndrome can be very, very devastating to people. Getting that under control can really help out. One of the things that's very interesting is that we used it for people with depression even. One of the things that occurs with depression, pain can kind of kick that off. And then also the levator scapula. As you release that, then all of a sudden people can start breathing.
Those are up in the neck area, that upper back.
We call those the tension muscle mm-hmm. headaches. Getting that release can actually change people's anxiety levels and decrease their depression levels.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid release banner and enter code Prather for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, it's Women's History Month, and we're going to talk about self-care. Of course, that's just as important for men. You know, I think our kids are really big into the self-care, which is great. I don't.
And us caring for them.
Yeah. I know. I really, when I think about it, you know, my 30s and 40s, you know, did I practice any self-care, you know, raising a family?
Right.
And it's so important, you know, and I'm revisiting that now. We're going to talk about that. But Dr. Prather, why do a show on women's self-care?
Well, women take care of everybody. You know, I mean,
Amen to that.
Yeah, it's you know, when I get a man into the office, it's because a woman brought him in.
Dragged him in.
Yeah, that's right. So they bring him in. They bring in the kids. They refer, you know, their friends and neighbors. Mm-hmm. They're always looking around on who they can take care of. And, you know, I think about the illustration in the airplanes. You know, the stewardess is up there.
Flight attendants.
I'm sorry. Yes, flight attendants. I've been corrected on that. Flight attendants. They talk about when the oxygen masks drop down.
Mm-hmm.
First, put it on yourself, and then put it on someone else.
Yeah.
Because if you're not taken care of, you can't take care of other people.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a very basic thing, and that's one thing that women get into. You know, it's just, you know, when the kids were being raised up, you knew what favorite color, their favorite color, you knew all their friends, you knew where they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You didn't always know where they were.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, and I knew that there were some little tiny people running around in the house. And I got their names mixed up every once in a while.
That is not true.
But definitely, I mean, you were the one who was really involved in taking care of the kids, mm-hmm. Taking care of me, taking care of the business, taking care of friends and neighbors, and taking care of everybody.
Didn't we have a dog at the time?
And you were taking care of a dog, and the dog got better care than you did. So, you know, if mom goes down, you know, the whole family kind of collapses.
Yeah.
So, talking about self-care for women is something that's very important, and something that needs to be reminded that you need to take care of yourself to be able to take care of others.
So, what is self-care?
Well, self-care, there's a lot of things that are involved in that, you know, making sure that you get a proper sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a regular set bedtime. You get at least 7 hours sleep.
That was one of my New Year goals, is to be in bed by 10 at night.
Sure.
And I think I talk about this.
Yeah, and I think one thing I remember is that you got yourself worn down at one point because you decided, well, you know what would be a real good idea is do all my work after everybody goes to bed.
Uh-huh. That's when I, started aging.
Yes. So that's just a very basic type of thing, and especially during this whole pandemic time, very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Eating right, you know, just making sure that you're on board with having a good, healthy meals, and making sure that you're taking care of yourself that way. Exercise, you need a minimum amount of exercise on a weekly basis. You need social time. Mm-hmm. You know, women, I mean, you thrive off of talking to your girlfriends.
Yes.
And you absolutely need that. If you don't have that, things start to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a very important time. And then reflective time. You know, I mean, your time with your journal, your time with your prayer and with your Bible, mm-hmm. That's very important. And people need to find, women especially, need to find time where they can reflect and get into, you know, sort of the self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And you've really found that your journaling has just been a huge, huge aspect of your health and well-being.
Yes, yes. Just, I've had journals since I was in my 20s.
Right.
Yeah. It just helps me to put those thoughts down. And I like to go back. It helps me remember.
Sure.
You know, where I've been and where I'm going.
Right. Mm-hmm. And those things are all just kind of like critical. And then, of course, then you would be thinking about what are the things that medically you should do along those lines, too.
Yeah. We kind of talked about, I mean, the importance of self-care.
Right.
Let's go back to sleep.
Yeah.
How much sleep do people need?
A minimum of 7 hours.
Minimum of seven hours.
Okay. And some people need more. There are some people who need less, but, you know, if you're looking at a what they consider a healthy cycle, it's also important that you get regular, you know, that you go to bed at a certain time.
Try not to play catch up.
Yeah, because it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, once you've lost it, you've lost it. Mm. And PM sleep is more important than AM sleep.
Yeah.
So let's say you get, you know, you wait until midnight and then go to sleep. The sleep from 10 to 12 is 2 hours, but it actually gives you 4 hours of benefit. Mm. Whereas the sleep from 12 to 2 only gives you 2 hours benefit. So that PM sleep really has a bigger effect on your health and well-being. So going to bed early, Ben Franklin used to say, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Nice. Yeah. And that's something that's been proven true.
Mm-hmm. And didn't Thomas Edison take a lot of cat naps during the day?
He did. Mm-hmm. He did.
That's and he had enough time to invent the light bulb and all the other things he did.
Yeah. Like 640 patents. You know, I mean, you know, a ridiculous number of patents. So.
So why are health screenings important, especially for women?
Health screenings. You know, it's important to get regular types of tests along those lines. Mm-hmm. So everyone's recommended that you get at least one annual checkup. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we like to say is that 80% of all healthcare should be structure function, and 20% should be disease care. So one of the things that I really recommend is not only do you have a disease care practitioner, primary care, but that you also have somebody who's looking at your structure function mm-hmm. aspect. Medical doctors who deal with disease care don't really know how to test and don't regularly test for your zinc, vitamin D, iodine, and all those different types of things to see how your health is doing. They're looking more at the disease processes and making sure that those are done. And as they're doing health screenings, we refer out to the medical doctors for those types of things, you know, that are the major, you know, the cancer checks, the heart checks, the
breast screenings,
all those mm-hmm. types of things. But you need to also be taking care of the basics along those lines. Mm-hmm. So we recommend everyone not only to have their primary care disease doctor, but also to have a primary care structure function doctor also. Because again, 80% of all healthcare should be done through the structure function model. And that's one area that is really lacking. And if everyone was having that done, kept their zinc and their vitamin D and the basics types of things up to par, mm-hmm. This pandemic would be over. Mm. You know, we're talking about the vaccination, that's through the disease care, mm-hmm. very, very helpful, but that only provides 20% of the final solution. 80% of the final solution should be coming through the structure function.
Yeah, very important. When we come back, we're going to talk about the health screenings that are important for women. We'll be right back.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
For 7 weeks, we nursed my mother. It was such a privilege. Got to wipe her face and feed her and try to be there for everything. My brother and I took turns. We kind of got a schedule going of rotating when one of us would be there. My mother used to say all the time, I know what they do in these hospitals. Don't leave me here by myself. Which makes you wonder, what kind of nurse was she?
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Dr. Prather, are supplementations necessary?
Absolutely. And this isn't just Dr. Prather saying that. The number one push for the CDC and the World Health Organization is how to get the vitamins and minerals into people's diets. They are requiring different types of vitamins and minerals to go into the diet because they're trying to save people's lives. They're pushing on the vaccinations, but if people had proper nutrition, vaccinations wouldn't be necessary. Can I repeat that? If people had proper nutrition, vaccinations would not be necessary. The reason that vaccinations are necessary is because people are nutritionally deficient and they are very susceptible then to diseases that come through. Really, if we emphasize on that and use the trillions of dollars that are spent, then we're actually healthy and we're truly, truly then protected from diseases and chronic diseases.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with 5 built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid-release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, it's Women's History Month, and we're talking about self-care, how important it is. Especially for women, mm-hmm. to take care of themselves, because they're taking care of, you know, other people, their
everybody
families.
Else. And, yes. Right, right. Yeah. We could not operate without you. Let's put it that way.
Thank you. So let's talk about, you know, what are the health screenings that are important for women to get?
Well, you know, as we're looking at all the different types of health screenings, you know, we're looking at what are all the things that cause death. I mean, what do people die from? Mm-hmm. First thing, of course, is heart disease is the number one, and very close to that is cancer. So really doing the screenings for heart disease and cancer are extremely important. And the first ones that we usually talk about for normal screenings are basically to do with the cancer screenings. Because those can really be, if you catch those types of things early,
yeah.
Then things can be actually fixed quite well. Of course, stroke is also follows up with that. And then you get into all sorts of different things. And one thing that's kind of moving up quite a bit is Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, doing all those different types of screenings and making sure that those are all done are extremely important. So, you know, we're talking about the cancer screenings. We're talking about cervical cancer, colorectal cancer, breast cancer. When we're talking about cardiovascular, doing the checking for hypertension.
And isn't heart disease increasing in women?
In women, yeah. The main reason is because smoking increased.
Mm.
You know, just doing a lot of the basics. Eating right, we talked about that, but don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Get that taken care of. You know, that's a big thing. Don't drink too much alcohol. Is also a very basic type of thing, and really cut that down.
Mm-hmm.
And then keeping your weight at a good weight are all very important. You know, obesity screening.
Yeah, it was interesting because we just did recent blood work,
right,
on me, and I had lost 17 pounds,
right,
in the last five to 6 months,
uh-huh.
since my last blood work, and my blood work had improved drastically.
Right. Basically, everything was perfect.
Wow. You've never said that about my blood work.
No.
And you feel like it's a lot from just losing that fat percentage.
Absolutely. That was mm-hmm. that was it. Mm-hmm. That was the change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. I think I tend to be an overeater. And so I made different decisions on portion. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't get all caught up in the calories, but I did look at calories because I had never looked at calories before.
Sure.
You know, but changed my portions, worked on the emotional component of eating.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, just took out alcohol for a while, and that really helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed to, you could just tell it wasn't helping.
Sure.
So it's just interesting, you know, that, and that was about 17 pounds, mm-hmm. could change my blood chemistry so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it can happen. I mean, you can improve your blood work.
Yes.
Easily. You can change your health. So let's talk about why is the annual health exam critical?
Health, you know, that just gives you the overall picture. That's where also the doctor can say, well, it's time for, you know, for your PEP. It's time to get your colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. It's time, you know, to get your, do a thorough check on your heart. Along with that, you should be doing some blood tests. It's much, much easier to take care of a problem like a fire. If you have a little corner of the house where, you know, the candle fell, and there's a little bit of burn on the carpet, you know, you can throw some water on it and put it out. If you wait until the whole house is engulfed in fire, then it's really too late. Mm-hmm. So the screenings are very important because basically you're finding problems when they're very easily taken care of until it's a raging fire and it's too late to actually save your life.
Mm-hmm.
So getting those annual screenings, getting the you know, the health screenings, and then getting the proper types of tests that go along with that as your doctor's watching you to make sure that you get those done really keeps you healthy and saves lives tremendously.
Right, and you have to also keep track yourself, you know.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, there's a personal responsibility, but you're working in tandem with your doctor.
Right.
To accomplish those things.
So why is cervical cancer screening so important?
It saves lives. Basically, you know, since they started that, the reduction in the amounts of deaths from cervical cancer are quite amazing. Matter of fact, the problem really isn't a problem as long as women get their usual checkups along those lines.
Okay.
So it's something that has been one of the most successful things on cutting down on cervical cancer deaths. It's quite an amazing type of, and quite a positive type of change.
Yeah.
That's occurred.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then colorectal cancer screenings.
Yeah. Again, if people would get regular, you know, as they're set up according to mm-hmm. how often they should get that and at the proper time, then that could pretty well be eliminated. So it's something that both you and I make sure that we get our checks. Everything's always been great. Your brother, mm-hmm. actually, there was some things starting to grow mm-hmm. and had those taken care of. If he had not gotten that would have developed into colon cancer.
Right.
But because he had that checked, it saved his life.
And it's very important, you know, teaching our four-year-old grandson to look at his stools, you know.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, start. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's important, you know, to look at your stools.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially if there's any blood in the stool.
Oh, yes.
Very important.
Yeah, very
Take
important.
Care of that right away.
Right.
Let's talk about breast cancer screenings.
Yeah, breast cancer screenings. I mean, when we're talking about cancer, it's the number one cancer for women. And it's something that can be really, really prevented if that's actually watched. And you're talking about one of the things that we find is a lot of the women that we have that come in with breast cancer, they found it themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so just being, because they know their breasts pretty well and know the changes that are involved with that and how important that self-examination is. And then getting that checked, finding out imaging. And, of course, they have the mammogram. There's also ultrasound, thermography, and MRI is actually the gold standard mm-hmm. on actually checking it. So making sure that you get some proper imaging. One of the things that you just recently had done mm-hmm. is an ultrasound check
right.
on your breast to make mm-hmm. sure that everything
through her
is okay.
scan.
And that's very important because, you know, breast cancer in women, I mean, about 50% of the women will eventually have breast cancer.
50%. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
So it's a very common type of cancer and something that should be checked on.
Yeah. Checking blood pressure, very important.
Extremely important because if you can keep your blood pressure under control, that's a great indication of your health and well-being. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one, it helps to prevent cardiovascular disease, kidney disease, and also stroke. So keeping your blood pressure under control. And of course, what we like to do is do it naturally. There are many times that pharmaceuticals are necessary. But again, if you can do that and find the underlying problem, 70% of all hypertension is based in the kidneys. You improve the health of the kidneys, which you can through nutrition. Mm-hmm. Then you can actually oftentimes get blood pressure under control without pharmaceuticals.
We talked about cardiovascular screenings.
Right.
Very important.
One of the things that we do is some very important types of blood tests along those lines that can really show up how your cardiovascular health is.
Okay. Blood glucose screening.
Yeah, for diabetes, that's a major killer. So making sure that, you know, you get checked for obesity. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know. Osteoporosis mm-hmm. is also a huge type of thing, getting screenings. Anemia for women, especially of childbearing age, is an extremely important thing. And then mental health. There are a tremendous number of checks that can be done for mental health. I know for Alzheimer's, which is a huge growing increase in death, the Alzheimer's Society provides free screenings that they can do through their website.
Okay.
So all sorts of things that are available to people.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather.
And thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, women's.
And we appreciate you, and we couldn't function without you.
Well, thank you. When we come back, we're going to have Justine Turner on our last segment, The Motivational Moment.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
One of the things that we do is we support families during vaccinations, mm-hmm. make sure that they have the best outcomes. An example of that would be a mom who came in and she had adopted a child. They had taken the little boy to the doctor for the vaccinations. They had gotten the vaccination and that night the child went into convulsions, had high fever. They took him into the emergency room at the hospital. He actually died once. They revived him, were able to get him through everything, and then he was able to get home. Very traumatic experience. And then they said, well, you know, it's time for the child's next vaccination. The mom said, well, I correlate that completely with the vaccination. The doctors denied that that had anything to do with the vaccination that was done. And they said, you're required to go on ahead and have that child vaccinated. And she came in to me very distraught, and she said, you know, what do I do with this? So I said, well, you know, we actually work with that. What we did is I said, which vaccinations are you going to have? And we made up homeopathics for those. We also gave some thymus and some other different types of supportive type of material, made sure that the vitamin A was up to normal levels, which has a lot to do with how you respond to vaccinations. Matter of fact, the vitamin A level also has a determination on how well children respond to vaccinations, whether they go into crisis or not.
How was this child's vitamin A?
Low, because they had come from an orphanage. So what we did was we gave all those types of things, got it all prepared, and I said, bring the child back immediately. After the vaccination, we'll check them in at that point. We checked them, added a couple things, and the child did fantastic. There was absolutely no reaction, no abnormal response. And we've done that with quite a few children, you know, on parents who were concerned of reactions either the child had had a problem before. Whenever we were able to work with them, they had gone through the vaccinations with absolutely no issues.
So adding that support.
Again, we're trying to take the structure function model and then integrate it into the medical model. There is a lot of controversy about vaccinations and whether it does cause damage to children. We have 1 in 6 children that are diagnosed right now, according to the CDC, with learning disabilities. We also have 54% of all children right now have some type of chronic disease. That did not used to be there. There is something that we have done wrong with our children. We know that there's an issue, but we don't know exactly where it's coming from. We need to find out a different way of actually working with this, and we feel that structure function care could be the answer.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that greener, You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're starting a new segment called The Motivational Moment. We're going to be doing this segment once a month, and we have Justine Turner here. Justine, you are, you know, I don't know anyone else that motivates others like you do.
Thank you.
You have been an employee here at the Prather Practice for 5 years. And you are a shining light to our staff and our patients. And so we couldn't think of anybody else better than you to do this motivational moment.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And I'm honored to be a part of this. I've always had this passion for motivational speaking. And secretly, I think I've always wanted to inspire people with just the power of positive mindset. And now, since I've been in this office, I've been able to kind of share some of my gifts with others and trying to maintain, you know, good positive energy and how it truly, you know, transforms our lives when we can transform our mindset.
And it's no more a secret, so you don't have to keep it a
Yay!
Secret. Well, tell us a little bit about your background.
All right, so I've been here at the Prather Practice for almost 5 years. I have been in the holistic wellness industry, if you will, for 14 years. And I studied psychology at The Ohio State University. And then I'm also a licensed massage therapist. So health and wellness has been a passion and part of my life for a very long time. And at 21 years old, I started working for a chiropractor. And I can honestly say that he and his wife are really the ones that opened up this whole world to me. And now it is truly where my passion is. It's where my drive is. And I just feel really blessed and honored to be in the presence of our practice and all of the amazing things that we do for patients and each other.
So talk about your position here at the Prather Practice now, what you're doing.
So I started out as a massage therapist here, and I have been incredibly honored to excel and grow and learn more. And with that, I now work in our DTS center, which is Dedicate, Transform, Succeed. It is our healthy mindset and weight loss center. And I health coach and lifestyle coach our patients. With DTS, we have a couple of programs that we offer for weight loss and for food sensitivity intolerances. And so I really am just a facilitator for people to make better choices in their lifestyle.
So we're going to talk about self-care. That's like the new buzzword.
It is.
You know, I'm older, born in the 60s, and I don't remember hearing self-care like I am. I see it on the magazine racks and books, self-care. My kids in their 20s talk about it. How do you assist people here at the Prather Practice with self-care?
First and foremost, self-care is incredibly important. And just as you said, we've gone through this transition period where you see this new wave and this new generation that has really latched onto the importance of self-care. And for me, self-care is attached and associated with our mental health. And I think it's so very important when we are taking care of our mind, body, and spirit through self-care, we are overall, generally speaking, healthier and happier people. So what I encourage our patients here is to, number one, they have to refuel their battery, right? Mm-hmm. So our vehicle is our body, it's our vessel. You would not drive your car on an empty tank. It's not going to take you anywhere.
Right.
So what do? We put gas in our car. We put gas in our tank. Your body is the same. It needs gas, it needs fuel, it needs recharged. And we recharge ourselves by taking the time to do small daily things that make us feel good. Mm-hmm. Mentally, spiritually, and physically. So I have some categories that I usually address with patients, and I, you know, have them take a look at these particular areas in their life, and we come up with ways for them to implement healthier habits mentally, spiritually, physically that allows them to have, you know, the self-care that they need so that they can thrive.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about those categories.
All right.
Help people with.
Yes. So physical is going to be a very important aspect. I think sometimes we get so busy in life that we forget to take the time, or I shouldn't say we forget. We make excuses for not physically taking care of ourselves. So physical obviously is going to be exercise. And I'm not saying that you have to go to the gym and be this big bodybuilder. You can take 10 minutes out of your day just to stretch. Yoga is so very important. It's something that we all should do. And that physical exercise is going to help a lot of chemical things happen in your body, like the serotonin and the dopamine and your endorphins. These are all very good things that our body needs to thrive and just overall feel much happier. And so with the physical, I encourage some form of exercise. It can be a gentle stretching, or you can work out 5 days a week, you know, at 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you're capable of. I promise you though, once you start implementing physical exercise into your life, you will see the positive changes, and it really becomes, in a very healthy way, an addiction, you know, an addiction of something that your body, and when I say addiction, I mean your body feels so good that it needs it, it wants it. It's a positive feeling.
Yeah, and you can make such quick changes with just, you're saying 10, 15 minutes a day.
Yes.
If you have a rhythm.
Absolutely. And it's so important just to get into a good rhythm, a good routine. And it really takes, you can exercise twice in a week and notice a huge difference, even just in your sleep patterns or, you know, your overall, just how you feel when you wake up. I find it interesting when I exercise on a routine and regular basis, I want to eat healthier.
Yeah.
Right? So so it brings these other positive things into your life. So physical is very important. Emotional is the next one. So emotional is going to be journaling, you know, taking some time to read a gratitude journal.
I'm doing that right now for 40 days.
Good for you.
Yeah,
isn't it amazing? Just taking the time out of your day and writing down things that you're grateful for.
And it wasn't easy at first. That's how ungrateful I am. I mean, it's really, you know, but now...
It makes you recognize, you know, you have to like really think about those things in your life that you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. And we always look at the big picture, like I'm grateful for these big things.
Right.
When really we can be grateful for the tiniest things. I'm grateful just sitting here speaking to you, mm-hmm. you know, talking about things that can be life changing for people. You know, it's recognizing the small, tiny things that can make a huge difference in your life and the people around you.
Yeah, like the beautiful sunset.
It is
last night, and
and it's beaming in on us right
the
now.
The sun, yeah.
So emotional is going to be very important. Recognizing some of the feelings that you have in certain situations, you know, when we sometimes I think we try to hide what we're feeling because we see it as a negative thing. I absolutely believe that you can feel anger and happiness and gratitude all in the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it's recognizing the emotions that you're feeling, accepting it, learning from certain things, and moving on.
Yeah. I heard somebody say, when you win, you win. When you lose, you learn.
I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the next one.
All right. So our next is very similar to the one prior. So mental. Our mental health is so very important. I love that we're recognizing the importance of it. Nowadays, you hear about it more. You see it more. People are talking about it. And there's a stigma attached to mm-hmm. our mental health. And sometimes it's an embarrassment or people feel shameful when they have to recognize, you know, that they're in a state of depression or guilt or shame, lack of confidence. And you have to find those things, that those triggers that set you off, that put you in a bad place mentally. And you have to rewire your brain and how you handle those situations. And, you know, learning to forgive and accept experiences and post-traumatic things that we've been through so that you can be in a more beautiful and aligned mental space. Mm-hmm. So with the mental self-care, again, journaling, reading a book, reading your Bible, just having some meditation time, some time to reflect. I think it's important to recognize your feelings, mm-hmm. accept it, like I said earlier, and move forward. But also understanding that it's okay to seek help. Mm-hmm. It's okay to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. You have to be vulnerable and get uncomfortable to grow. And I think sometimes our mental health declines because we're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. So don't be embarrassed for your struggles. That's where you grow. That's where that opportunity for you to open yourself up for others to see you, and you expose yourself a little bit. And that's hard for people.
Yeah, and I like what you said, be vulnerable. And be uncomfortable helps with growth. All right, and the next one.
So socially, which is really hard right now.
Yeah.
So obviously having some social self-care, so whether it's, you know, time with your daughters or, you know, your mm-hmm. friends, having time with your spouse, quality time with somebody that you enjoy being around, you know, social gatherings, which is very difficult right now. But you could also do Zoom calls, mm-hmm. you know, with people that are special to you that kind of lift your spirits. And I always encourage people, when you interact with people socially, you want them to be the people that bring out the best in you, mm-hmm. the people who lift you up, the people that are going to be there to inspire you, encourage you, and motivate you. Mm-hmm. So it is very important, even if you are an introvert, to still get out and be social and do things that make you happy.
Yeah, very important. Very important. Anything else?
So then health, of course, that goes in with eating healthy, choosing foods that nourish your body, whole dense foods, fruits, vegetables, lean protein, healthy grains, and implementing a good routine, just daily habits, waking up, having a morning ritual, at nighttime, having nighttime routines, getting to bed on time. These are all things that are going to just overall help you with your self-care.
And that was one thing I had a goal this year, is getting to bed by 10, mm-hmm. so that I'd get up by 6.
Yeah.
And then have that nice, slow morning routine.
Yes.
I used to, you know, hurry through the morning and rush out the door. Yeah.
You have to have a good routine and plan for things. So, and just a couple examples for self-care would be to take a hot bath, journal, rest, hydrate, prayer, unplug from your devices. It's so very important to kind of give yourself that time to just get away from electronics, diffusing essential oils, taking a vacation, exercising.
Well, thank you, Justine. We look forward to what you're going to share with us next month.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.